This is Thoughts on the Table by DisgracesOnTheMenu.com.
Hello and welcome to Thoughts on the Table, the audio blog on food and food culture. Paolo here again, back with another episode and back with a new guest. Today with me is Ale Gambini from Bread, Love and Dreams. Hi Alessandra.
Hi Paolo, hi everyone.
It's fantastic having you here. So we're here because I have to say right away, there's a big occasion that Alessandra is celebrating. She just published her first cookbook, which is called A Queen in the Kitchen, and I'm very proud to be talking about it.
Thank you.
Congratulations,
I'm proud and
Ale.
Happy to. Thank you.
It's a fantastic book. I am so happy to have it because it is really a collection of recipes of my childhood. So this is the thing. So Alessandra was born and raised in Milano.
Milano,
exactly. And I'm from the province of Milan. And really, pretty much all of the recipes that she talks about are the recipes I grew up with, and some I even forgot about. You know, it's incredible how much overlap there is. So I'm very happy to talk about it because really there's a lot of interesting things to talk about. So, Alessandra, how was putting together this book?
Oh, it was kind of hard because it took me over 3 years to have mm-hmm. all the book done. Yeah. But it always has been my dream to publish a cookbook, and especially a cookbook about my beloved Nonna Fernanda, because she always been my mentor. So I'm so happy and glad to have done this book about her and about the cuisine of my hometown Milano, because mostly this book is about Milano and mm-hmm. some important and very famous recipe of the north of Italy, but mostly mm-hmm. about Milano.
Exactly. Which is a part of Italy which is not very celebrated, is less
yes.
famous than
yes,
the Mediterranean.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. It's more inspired by France and Germany than by the Mediterranean, for instance.
Yes,
and
totally.
So we have a lot of rice dishes, less pasta, though there's a lot of pasta too. And then we have, of course, the use of butter more than oil.
Yes. Yes. For us, butter is... We need butter everywhere.
Exactly.
Yes, totally.
Okay. So, yeah, and we should mention, of course, that, as you said, these are the recipes of your grandmother, Nonna Fernanda, who is now 90 years old, so... Happy
yes.
birthday, Nonna Fernanda.
Thank you.
She's turned 90. and she's still cooking and she's doing fantastic. So I'm very happy to talk about her. I, too, have a grandmother who is 96. So
wow.
Yes. And she's also still living on her own and cooking. So clearly the air of Milan is not all that bad after all.
Yes. Totally.
We should mention these are your grandmother's handwritten notes turned into a book. Is that right?
Yes, totally. Because when I moved to the US, I asked her to send me all her recipes because I was missing her. So please send me your recipe. And day by day, she wrote all the recipes by herself. And then she sent it to me. I collected them and then I cooked them. I took the picture of them and I translate all the recipes. And then here we come. We have the book.
Yeah, so she didn't really have them already written down. She would just cook them from memory.
Right. She just did it for me, exactly for me, because mm-hmm. I asked her. And she sent all her recipes and everything. She cooked. She started to cook when she was like a teenager. So mm-hmm. she has a very vast amount of recipes. Mm-hmm. But the one I've included in the book are the one that pretty much I love more. Mm-hmm. So yeah, because I have even more, but those are the ones that I remember during my childhood for Christmas, for birthdays. So they are very a part of me. This book is really a part of my life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a part of mine too, really honestly. These are, like you said, the recipes that I would see featured on Sunday meals and for sure for Christmas, and some everyday recipes as well. These are those staples of Milanese cuisine and Northern cuisine in general that definitely are very dear to me as well. But it's good to hear that you have more recipes from your grandma, and I'm pretty sure you already started on your next book. Is that right?
Yes. Actually, I'm going to add more recipes and maybe even videos, with her or two. We'll see, because, you know, she still lives in Milano. I live in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. so it's kind of difficult to meet very often, but we'll see.
I, of course, saw her in your video. So Alessandra produces a web series of video recipes too, and you can find them on her blog and on YouTube, which are really nicely made. And the episode with Nonna Fernanda, which we're going to talk about later, is fantastic because she's such a natural on TV.
Totally.
So entertaining and so very sweet. So I totally recommend everybody go and watch these videos. They're really, really amazing, and a nice piece of history that you're preserving. So
yes.
It is very important. Yeah.
Thank you.
So on the book, of course, there's lots of recipes, but it's one of them which is your own personal favorite. I know that because there's a little note there. So that's the octopus salad, right?
Yes. Oh, yes, totally. I'm an octopus lover, and especially my Nonna Fernanda's octopus salad is very simple, but it tastes amazing.
Right. Interesting. This is a perfect dish for a big holiday meal, like for Christmas, because you make it the night before or even the day before. And you know, you have it. It's one of your appetizers.
Yeah, it's mostly for maybe special occasion. So I remember this dish every Christmas dinner. Yes, pretty much the menu was always the same, but always delicious. Simple and delicious.
Yes. It's sort of Christmas brings back its own dishes, where Christmas after Christmas, you look forward to retasting the same dish that you remember from the time before. So I wanted to go through some of your other recipes, just mention some of the titles. So for your antipasti, you have, of course, the shrimp cocktail, which is something you find all over the world, but in the Italian version of it, fiori di zucca fritti, which is squash blossoms or zucchini blossoms, which are really hard to find here. They don't sell them, so unless you have your own orchard or you have a community garden, and you know, if you have zucchini, you're going to have the blossoms at some point. You can put them aside and fry them in
the
batter.
Yes, totally.
And they are amazing. This is something that I probably haven't been having since I moved to Vancouver, so I need to find a way to find them.
Yeah. Here in LA, actually, we are lucky because we are some farm that grows zucchini. So I'm lucky because around April or May, I can find some zucchini flowers or squash flowers. Yes. So I'm lucky.
Then you have your melanzane alla milanese, this octopus salad that we mentioned. Oh, something really strange to most, I'm sure, but very familiar to me is the nervetti in insalata, which I honestly forgot about, and you brought it back to my memory. It's a little bit gross for those who don't eat meat like me now, but it's veal cartilage, and we actually eat that, and it's part of the, you know, philosophy that you should be eating everything.
Yes.
You don't discard any part of the animal.
Right.
So they found a way to make these into a salad, and is another of those salads that you will feature on a Christmas meal. Then you have a beef tartare, which is, I think, a French dish, and then your grandma's way to prepare eggs as an appetizer, which is kind of a version of a deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs, yes. Pretty much they are, but they are not spicy. My nonna are not spices at all.
So they're not evil at all. They're
No. Yes, very delicate.
Amazing. And then you start with your first courses. You know, traditionally Italian menus always include an appetizer and a first course and then a second course. So, of course, your book is no exception. You start with something that is actually not from Milan. It's from Trentino Alto Adige, which is the part of Italy close to Austria. These dumplings called Canederli.
Yes.
Which I also feature on my blog, and they're very popular. I receive a lot of hits. So it's a dish that is becoming is really trendy, I think, and it's great that you're featuring as well. It's one probably my favorite dish
from
North Italy.
Good to know.
Amazing. Then you have your grandma's version of carbonara.
Sure.
You should mention something about that. So let's take a little bit side turn here. So I went through your ingredient list, and I noticed something that it really stood out, and it shouldn't have been there, I think, which is cream. So I asked you about it, and really, this brings back the fact that, well, every family has got their own variations to these dishes, and carbonara is really not a northern Italian dish. It's a dish from Rome. It's not. So, and it really, in everyone's kitchen, everybody can do what they want, and your grandma's version features a bit of cream in it. You were telling me, though, that there's a story behind it, that this comes from a particular version that she learned.
Yes, actually, this is not the authentic carbonara that it comes from the central Italy, but she learned how to cook this dish from a chef of an Italian northern restaurant, and so she passed that recipes to me. It's very light, even if we put some cream, and she learned from a chef.
Exactly,
from a northern chef. So maybe, you know, in the north we use a lot of cream and butter, so they just adjust the taste to the northern Italian
palate,
yes, totally.
Yes, and you have a note there specifying that this is not a traditional version.
Yes, I want to be, this is not the authentic carbonara that you can find in Rome, but it's like a northern version, so.
And speaking of northern dishes, you also have your filled crepes, of course, a French-inspired dish, which is very common in northern Italy. And then you have your potato dumplings, the gnocchi.
Gnocchi
is another of those dishes that bring back a lot of memories to me. I really can picture a Sunday morning at my grandma's, who lived in a house. I grew up in an apartment, so this is already a nice memory of its own. And I was out and playing when she told me she was making gnocchi, so I ran in because I wanted to help. And it was such a beautiful thing to do, and I always try to eat some raw. I don't know why they seemed maybe marshmallow or kids that kind of stuff.
Yes,
I didn't know marshmallows, of course, but now they remind me of those maybe. And you shouldn't eat raw gnocchi because raw flour is actually not very good for you. But I was eating
totally. But you know, when we were kids, we try a lot of weird stuff, and gnocchi, raw gnocchi is one of them. I tried it too.
Yes. Well, they also contain cooked potatoes, so that part is fine. Yeah. So. And then raw eggs, whatever. We eat raw eggs, and we'll go back to that. Then you have your grandma's lasagna, which you feature, of course, on the front cover. Amazing dish for holidays and Sundays. Your minestrone. Then, of course, risotto cannot be missing from the list.
Yes, maybe risotto is the staple of the Milanese cuisine. I would say is the most famous Milanese dish.
Yeah, you have the yellow one with saffron, called Milanese all around Italy. And then, of course, the version with mushrooms, which is risotto coi funghi, generally porcini, which is something, again, very common in the north. Then you go on to your secondi. I'm going to go through very briefly. And let me skip a few because there's so many. You have asparagi alla Milanese, you have brasato, of course, cassola. It's really a Lombardy dish. Which you cook it in generally late fall, which is the perfect time in which you should actually pick your cabbage when you have the first freezing, and then they taste best. Maybe they taste a little bit frozen. I don't know.
Yeah.
But But this is how I was told is the perfect time to pick your cabbage. And then you have the polpette. Again, polpette is meatballs, which are featured as a side or as a second course, not as something that you put on your spaghetti.
Oh, yes, let's say that. We don't put meatballs in the spaghetti. For us, it's more, a main dish or a side dish, but not definitely to be served with the pasta.
Absolutely. And then going on to your desserts, you have, barbagiata. I have to admit, I don't know this one. Can you describe me this dessert?
Yeah, the barbagiata is pretty much the hot chocolate, Milanese hot chocolate. It's a very vintage hot beverage that used to be served in Milano. And it's like hot chocolate and with some shots of espresso.
I see.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And it sort of shows that, yes, I say I'm from Milan, but I'm really not from Milan. I'm from the province of Milan, and I don't know this dessert, for instance. It's another sign of the fact that Italy is so diverse, and even like 20, 30 kilometers can make a big difference.
A difference, totally.
Absolutely. But I do know the next one that you feature, the chiacchiere, which is... Chiacchiere means chatters, I guess.
Chatters, yes.
Yeah, I think it's because of the sound they make when you crunch them, because they're crunchy. I think it's an explanation I heard. Maybe you have a different one.
Oh, I don't have any explanation, but I know they taste awesome. And they are a traditional dessert for Carnevale, which is a sort of Mardi Gras. But actually, I used to bake all year round because I love chiacchiere. So, yeah, but mostly are for Carnevale.
That's right. That's what I remember making as well. And my grandma makes a killer version of them. It's really, really delicious using strutto, which is pure lard, as the frying meat. Yeah. Now, I don't eat meat, so I would have a little problem with that, but I'm sure I can replace it with some kind of vegetable shortening.
Yes, you can use the shortening instead of the lard. Yes,
yeah,
totally.
Because they fry at low temperature. They need that. And then you have colombina di Pasqua, panettone, which is one of the hardest. You make it sound easy. That one is really something that I know is pretty hard to obtain.
Yes.
Is an actual bread, sweet bread, that takes a lot of time to make because it needs to go through several levels of leavening.
Yes, it takes forever, but the result at the end is awesome, and everyone, not only in northern Italy or in Milano, but all over Italy, we eat panettone because it is the symbol of Christmas, the Christmas dessert for excellence is panettone.
Yes, and I was having a podcast with my friend Gino De Blasio, who lives in the UK, and he's saying that it's becoming really popular in the UK right now. You can find panettone everywhere around Christmas time.
Oh, wow.
And even after, for months.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, it's becoming trendy in Northern Europe, it seems. Then you have your salame di cioccolato, something a lot easier to make, and no cook.
Super easy.
Dessert.
No. Super easy, perfect for, even a snack in the afternoon with your kids. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
I remember making this one with my mother when I was a kid, because again, it's a no-cook dessert that you can make with your children really easy, and they're gonna love it when it's done, if they can wait, because it needs to settle.
Yes. Yeah, I remember stole the dough, or so sometimes you can even finish your dish because it's all gone before. Yeah, totally.
And finally, we have tortelli di Carnevale, which I know is one of your dearest dishes from your grandmother.
Yes.
And you also featured herself in your video explaining how to make them. So what does this dish mean to you?
Oh, this means a lot. First of all, because my nonna is an amazing cook, but she just does this kind of dessert. The other dessert I include in this book are mine, because she never liked to bake that much. So frittelle are the only tortelli or carnival fritters are her only dessert she used to make. So that's very particular to me because she's so great as a cook, but she doesn't like to bake.
I see. Yeah, go ahead.
And another thing is because she used to make carnival fritters every carnival or carnevale. And I used to throw a little party at my home when I was a kid. And everyone, I invite all my schoolmates, and everyone was so happy to come to the party just to have the carnival fritters.
Yeah, no, I remember making them as well. Chiacchiere and fritters, they will go side by side, both heavy desserts.
Oh, yes.
But actually, if they're fried properly, they're not all that bad after all. So again, it's something that, we always think of the impact that our food is going to have on our health. Italian cooking is kind of concerned. Even if you do something really decadent, you limit the amounts, or it becomes a treat that you're going to have once a year, say, and not something that you just, like donuts that you could have them all the time, right?
So, oh, totally, totally, yes, because those are pretty, I remember carnival fritters only for Carnevale. Mm-hmm. They never cooked, fritters all year round. Yeah, and also the way you fry is very important, to use the right oil, the right temperature, and the right amount of oil, because the more oil you put in your frying pan, the better, because it doesn't go inside your food. So there are little tricks that you should follow when you cook or bake.
Absolutely. And all of those tricks are on your book as well. So these are, these are important details to ensure the right result. Alessandra, it's been fantastic talking with you. I realize we've been going on for quite some time, so we are out of time for this episode, but we definitely should connect again and talk some more about the cooking of Northern Italy.
Oh, totally. My pleasure. I had an amazing time chatting with you because also you are from Milano, so I felt like home. And yes, this book, it means a lot to me. I dedicated this one to my beloved nonna. And just a quick thing, I'm going to make a new web series about this book. I'm going to cook some of the recipes from this book, and it's going to be called A Queen in the Kitchen, and will be aired on mid of August on YouTube and Vimeo.
Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to that.
So, thank you.
Yeah, amazing. Again, congratulations on the book.
Thank
it's
you
a
so
fantastic
much.
Achievement. And again, I'm so happy that we had a chance to discuss it in the podcast. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Bye-bye, Ale. Talk soon.
Bye-bye, Paolo. Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Take care.